This is Patrick Gleason, and you've reached a higher level of Nerdvana.
Ladies and gentlemen, trees and multiforms, welcome to the podcast.
Robo fucking cop.
As far as I'm concerned, Bruce Willis can go get a bag of dicks. Get off my shit.
ConfessionsOfAMovieSnob.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, trees and multiforms, welcome to the podcast. I am Aaron.
And I'm Ethan.
And he is Ethan. You gotta love that gap in there. Mm-hmm. But welcome to the podcast. I don't know. I don't even care. I guess we don't do numbers and stuff anymore. We just kind of jump on into it and just start talking about it.
Podcast number 1,000.
Podcast number one something for sure.
Yes.
Unless we got into the twos.
Of all of the podcasts that we have done, this is one of them.
This is one of them, yes. But tonight is going to be an interesting podcast, a strange podcast. It's probably not going to be the best researched podcast we've ever done, because I think we came up with this idea today at like 3 o'clock, and mm-hmm. It is, you know, now 8:30, and, you know, I think we both worked in the time period that was there, so our minds wasn't necessarily on it. But I decided to once again, you know, be something. I don't know if we're going to call it topical, but we'll make it relevant. As we all know, Ethan is having his first child, his first daughter, in September.
Yep,
September,
my lovely, wonderful wife 26? Is. Yep, September 26th, a great day. Mm. But my wife keeps telling me she's feeling more October than September, so we'll see.
She just doesn't think it's quite done yet.
Not quite. No turkey timer. It's not done percolating.
She
any of that.
Drink whatever she will. But that's still a long time. I mean, that's a good 6 weeks away, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of baby growing in that time. But anyway, Ethan's going to be a father, and Ethan's going to have a child. And, you know, I've had my experience with, you know, be it nieces and nephews and even my own redheaded stepchild, Chloe. Mm-hmm. So what we decided today is to usher Ethan into fatherhood. We are going to talk about our favorite children characters. We're going to discuss it, you know, but we're going to do it the same way like when we did our favorite fictional characters. We're not going to tie ourselves down to movies. We're going to, if you like a character from a television show or a comic book or a book or a radio program, that's up to you. If you like the character, you know, they're open game. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be our discussion tonight. But before we get into any of that, we do have our little segment we like to call Geekly Happenings, news relevant to us geeks. And take it away, Ethan. I know that we're going to have quite a few deaths, unfortunately, this time around.
Yeah, let's start with some of the good stuff, though. I mean, and you broke this one to me, was Clint Eastwood looks like he's going to be taking over for Steven Spielberg on American Sniper as the director role, obviously. But
yeah.
I mean, that's pretty cool. We love, we sure as hell love, love us some Clint fucking Eastwood. Especially his love of the directorial endeavors. Although I didn't see the last one he did, the baseball movie.
The Trouble with the Curve?
Yeah, Trouble with the Curve.
He didn't direct that.
He starred in it, I know. I just didn't see
that
one.
Yeah. No,
What was the last one he directed before that?
Last thing he directed, was it The Suite Hereafter?
I think it was. I think you're right.
I think it was The Suite Hereafter. I liked that movie.
Yeah, because Suite Hereafter was after J. Edgar, right?
It was definitely after Changeling. Now you're saying that, I'm wondering if J. Edgar was after it. But it was Suite Hereafter, J. Edgar, something like that. And he's a prolific director. I like him as a director. I think he came out the first time we did our director's list. Obviously, we love him. He was the first official democratically chosen inductee into the Zone of Ruth Oz, so we like him. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't American Soldier the story of the guy that shot Obama, Bin Laden? I can't remember. It seems like, or maybe is it this? I've read, and it's been a while since I've read it. It's either the story about the sniper with the most confirmed kills.
Yeah,
I don't remember his name.
Christopher Kyle is who is it's based on his autobiography.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Steven Spielberg had to leave a few weeks ago. I don't remember why, but it was even like I read the article about when they left, but there was even so much there was even like a thing in there to where they're saying it was mm-hmm. totally amicable, but not just like the bullshit, you know, Hollywood doublespeak. It was they're saying it was so amicable that even that DreamWorks even elected to leave, and that is a very uncommon thing in, you know, Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times, like, production companies will be associated with it, and, you know, and it'll be like one of the big directors, you know, be it, you know, Ridley Scott with Alcon or whomever, and they'll get involved in a project and they'll move on for whatever reason, but they'll leave their production company affiliated with it, so they'll still have to get a cut when the movie comes out. Well, mm-hmm. Spielberg elected to, you know, leave and to disassociate DreamWorks with it, so that they can get more money. You know, and I thought that, you know, that's a class move. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we've come to expect out of Spielberg.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing. I like it. And I love seeing Eastwood direct. So.
Yeah, you know, I didn't see J. Edgar. I heard a lot of mixed things about it, but I did not.
It's a movie about a bad. I liked it, but it's about a person I don't like, you mm-hmm. know. And, you know, don't get me wrong, Leonardo DiCaprio is an awesome, awesome actor. And, you know, but, you know, just a lot of the things in the story, you know, I wasn't that interested in. A lot of people gave it shit for not really touching on the alleged, you know, cross-dressing and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. I thought it was a dense enough movie to where it didn't need it anyway. But, you know, it is what it is. And it was a fine movie. I mean, it was not, you know, it can't all be great, I guess.
Yeah, I guess not. Speaking of Mr. Clint Eastwood, of course, one of the people who directed him passed away recently, Ted Post, who did the Eastwood films, Magnum Force and Hang 'Em High, I think, was those.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, Magnum Force was the fourth Dirty Harry movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Magnum Force is the fourth one. That was not the one with Liam Neeson.
Yeah. Well, dude died at age 95. So I mean, he was kicking for quite a long time.
Lived a lot.
Mm-hmm. Also directed Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
Indeed, that's a show. That's a movie that's come up quite a bit on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a bit.
Is that the one with Ricardo Montalban?
I don't know. He's been in so many of them. No, I don't remember. Wasn't Ricardo Montalban in a few of them?
He's in one of them, like Escape or...
I don't remember.
Conquest or...
I would be surprised if I've seen all of them, and I guarantee you I haven't seen any of them more than once. I might have seen the first one more than once, but that's it.
Ricardo Montalban is in Conquest of Planet of the Apes.
Well, there we go. There we go. Very cool.
Long-running stuff, but yeah, farewell to Ted Post. Yeah, farewell to Ted Post. Then I found out today that Sid Bernstein died. He was a music producer and brought the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, the Moody Blues, and the Kinks to America. He was the first to organize rock concert in sports stadiums. I know it's not really movie related, but you know that's a pretty heavy one. So.
The guy probably had a couple bucks.
Yeah, probably had $1 or $2 to his name.
Yeah.
And of course, I think the big one really for that I heard about was Elmore Leonard. He's done stuff.
That was a bummer.
Yeah, he's done stuff all the way from novels, short stories, writing scripts. I mean, this guy touched a lot of stuff and was involved in. Yeah, in television, movies, was involved in quite a few movies that we've talked about on the show that we've really enjoyed. Yeah. I mean, 310 to Yuma is one of my you know favorite westerns, I think, at this point. And he wrote the original story for that, and so that was cool.
Jackie Brown.
Yeah, Jackie Brown. That's right. He did the original story. That Jackie Brown's on Out of Sight, Get Shorty, Be Cool. The TV series Justified is based on series of his books. You know, it's a lot. And he also had a lot. He had. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but was L.A. Confidential, is that based on one of his? Because I don't remember.
You know, I can't. I don't recall. It doesn't seem like it. I could be wrong though. Let us ask Google.
James Ellroy. It was James Ellroy. Yes. Did L.A. Confidential.
Yeah, I was gonna say if it were Leonard, I would be surprised because it doesn't feel like an Elmore Leonard
mm-hmm.
story. I mean, it's just too. I can't put my finger on it, but yeah, it's a bummer. I mean, he's a legend. I mean, he might be wrong, but he might have had a stroke or a heart attack or something a while ago, like a couple weeks, months or whatever ago. And I was all like, bummer. I hope we don't lose him, because I saw the news pop up the other day and I was all like, I thought he already died. And then I'm like, shit. And then I was starting to wonder maybe, because I often get Elmore Leonard and McCarthy confused. Fucking, what the hell's McCarthy's first name? The guy that did, like, you know, like The Road.
And,
No Country for Old Men. That guy, I thought maybe he had died. I looked it up, and no. So I'm thinking I must have a memory of hearing that something happened to Elmore Leonard, and then, you know, unfortunately we hear that he died the other day.
Cormac McCarthy.
There you go. Cormac McCarthy. Yeah, he's a... But no, those are two I always got confused. And I think it's because they both do, you know, good, you know, bleak shit. But, mm-hmm. you know, but luckily we do still have McCarthy. So that's good.
Yep. Yeah. So they, you know, they will be missed, I suppose. But
They will be missed.
other than that, there's not a whole heck of a lot going on in the world today as far as, we're post Comic-Con, so nothing has, nothing is, you know, we're in the aftermath of the storm of Comic-Con, so nothing really is coming out right now.
We still don't have any confirmation from Vin Diesel if he's actually going to be Groot or not, but, you know, it really sounds like it. I don't even know if you want to, it's not really an announcement, but we did hear that Tyler Hoechlin has been passed on for Batman because he was deemed too young, so that's too bad for him, but... we're right now kind of like on the precipice of waiting for, you know, like some of these announcements, you know, be it Lex Luthor, Groot, or you know, who's going to play Batman. But, not a whole lot's gone on. Some people mm-hmm. have died. Some people have, you know, some projects, you know, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Other than a bunch of conjecture and whatnot that still fly around, obviously there's not a lot going on right now. Not a lot going on. Although... I did see the new trailer for the new Muppets.
Oh yeah, me too.
Muppets Most awesome. Wanted. That looks like a lot of fun. That looks like a ton of fun, actually.
Well, imagine that. We want to see a Muppets movie. Big shocker.
I know.
Big shocker. Okay. Well, I guess at this point we're going to move on to the main topic discussion, where we're just going to talk about our favorite children characters, you know, in, you know, whatever form of media that we decide to talk about. Now, children characters, there's a lot of different ways that you can go about it. And it's just like, you know, with any other list that we do, any other kind of, you know, be it movie or character, you know, what have you, you know, you have to decide what it means to you. You know, what is it about a child character that, you know, speaks to you? And I don't know what you came up with, but... A lot, something that I noticed, and it wasn't something I you know, necessarily, you know, sought out to do, but I wanted to keep their childhood intact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like it's all fine and dandy to see a character, you know, that's, you know, wise beyond their years and a kid doing cool shit. But, you know, when a child character, if I really want to enjoy a child character, they need to, you know, still be a child. They can be put through extraordinary circumstances, absolutely, and you know have to deal with stuff beyond their years. But you know, I do still want to see that, you know, like that wonder and that magic of childhood in a character. Mm-hmm. I mean, how did you approach this, Ethan?
Pretty much in the exact opposite way, really.
Okay.
I'm generally not a big fan of child characters, especially in movies, but in other mediums and whatnot. I mean, I always tend to sort of go towards the older crowd, especially, well, in the children bracket, you know, the older, the mid-teens, late-teens type of thing. But they do surprise me now and again, you know, here and there. But I thoroughly enjoy the ones that are believably acting more adult or give a good performance or have a good character arc type of thing. And then there are the classic ones that you just have to enjoy. For me, it's really a fine balance of, for lack of a better way to put it, of not being annoyed that they're a kid and a good character ultimately, and you just have to find a way to look past this especially if you're looking in film and writing all that. You need to have someone who's writing the character well and not. Mm-hmm. Writing, because an adult writing for a child or writing a child generally doesn't work very well unless you're good at it, unless you know what you're doing. It comes off very trite. It comes off very just very stale and just not realistic. But occasionally they sneak them out and you have a really good time with them. And a lot of times those characters are, it's like, oh, hey, this character's 15, but they actually act much older than that type of thing. And so I sort of gravitate more to those kinds of performances, those kinds of characters, ones that go through this rite of passage or this coming of age thing, this arc. Yet I don't really enjoy things like, you know, White Fang or anything like that. So,
well, sure. Yeah. And I don't know, you know, for me, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, like, you know, there's going to be some of these that could, you know, and I think one of them did fall on my, you know, my favorite all-time fictional characters, toward the fact that there's a kid is almost irrelevant to me. But, you know, there is something to be said about, you know, like a character, you know, having to deal with, you know, like a child character having to deal with extraordinary circumstances and yet, you know, still retain their childhood. And I think that kind of speaks more towards, you know, like, you know, what it is that I enjoy about... enjoy about a story. You know me, like I'm not a big fan of, you know, Alan Moore stuff, for example.
Yeah.
You know, because of just like how dark and dreary it is, and, you know, without hope. And, you know, I do think that, like, some of this is going to show that you know, I do still have that sense of, you know, hope and wonder in me. And, you know, some of it's not. Some of them are going to fall under the, you know, that it's almost an afterthought that they're kids, because, you know, this would be a cool character if they just did, you know, the same things as adults.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Do you have anything else to add before we jump into this?
No, I think, you know, I've stumbled over myself enough, so.
Yes. Yes. Okay. All right, Ethan, who's your number six favorite child character?
All right. Going down my list and looking at who I've got here, I guess I've got to start with a classic. A classic one that really just edged out sort of the pop culture icon, but I guess she was a pop culture icon in her day. It's Dorothy Gale from The Wizard of Oz. Granted, I mean, in the movie, she's portrayed by Judy Garland. And I don't know, how old was she when she did that film?
You know, I was just wondering that, and you know, I don't know if I could place it. She had to, I you know, at youngest, she was late teens.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, that was a common practice then, you know, to where they would get these, you know, young adults to play younger characters. You know, sometimes, you know, it's still in play now. And she is one that, she's not on my list, but she's one that came up and I just kind of excluded her because, you know, she does come across as a young adult. Mm-hmm.
Looks like she was about 17 or so when she did that film. Now, I don't know, I can honestly tell you, I've never read any of the Oz books.
I read a few of them.
I've never read it. Although I think in school we actually analyzed the movie. We didn't analyze the book. So I don't know how old the character is actually is in the book. Although I would gather that she's probably much younger. And that's just
she is. She's preteen in the books, if I remember. Okay. It's been 20 years since I've read it. So, I mean, it feels like she's preteen in the books. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't remember. And, you know, this is kind of weird, but, you know, I would take this opportunity to honorably mention Alice from Alice in Wonderland, basically because it's been so long since I've read the books, and I don't like her too much. I mean, she's okay in the movie. She's an atypical, you know, Disney character in the movies. But, you know, I do remember I liked her in the books, but it's just been so long since I've read them, I can't really add her to my list. But that's an interesting one.
Yeah.
It's
a good one. You know, it's a classic one. It's, you have the Dorothy doing her thing and going from, obviously, Kansas, the dreary, horrible, horrible place. I love how people are always like, oh, we live in Kansas. How's Oz doing? Well, you know, dumbass, Oz isn't in Kansas. Kansas
that's
is the
whole point of Oz.
The dreary black and white place. But, fine. Anyway, people sort of ignore that.
Point in fact, you know, symbolically, Oz is the opposite of Kansas. So you're about asking the wrongest person.
Exactly. And you know, Dorothy from the movie is very much a character from that time period of especially, I mean, in cinema, as you have. I mean, she was really a simple character. But she was also, I put her as number six on my list because of what such an icon she is. I mean, today still, we're talking 70 freaking years later, you are still able to go out and people know who Dorothy is. You can grab Dorothy t-shirts, Dorothy dolls. They're all still out there 70 years after this movie is made. And this character, how many kids, even today, how many little kids love and adore this movie and love and adore Dorothy, you know?
Chloe does.
Exactly. And it's really timeless in that way. So that's why I think she's a great character.
Yep. She's a good character. I just, you know, didn't put her on there because I was thinking of her as more late teens. And, you know, obviously there's no prohibition to that. But, you know, I tried to keep mine, you know, somewhat younger. But, you know, I might have failed in a couple of situations. Okay, for my number six, I decided to choose one that I put on here, you know, not because I like the character, because I actually think he's kind of annoying. And, you know, I'm actually not even that big of a fan of the show that he's on, but I do find him, you know, remarkable, and I wanted to talk a little bit about him. And I don't even know if you're familiar with him at all, Ethan, but I chose Bobby Hill from King of the Hill.
Okay, I am familiar with him, yes.
Now, I've often said, and I'll say it again on this show, that, you know, that I really think that Bobby's going to grow up to be like a water tower sniper. I mean, he's such a like a poorly adjusted kid and all this kind of stuff. But I also found him crazy believable as a kid. I mean, crazy believable. I mean, he was like, you know, a very typical, you know, Midwestern kid, you know, growing up with the blue, and, you know, obviously there's something I would, you know, I might, you know, be able to take away from, you know, Bobby, you know, to where I might be able to empathize with Bobby, you know, because growing up with a very blue collar father, and he's more interested in, you know, the arts, because, you know, Bobby grows up to strive to be a, a prop comedian, and you know, only thing that Hank wants is for his dad to grow up, or he wants him to grow up and sell propane and propane products. But I don't know. I find him to be an interesting character, and he absolutely has his annoying moments. But you know, I did find him very well developed. And granted, they had, you know, how long was that show on for? 20, 30. 200 years, something like that. It was on a really long time, so I had a long time to develop him, but he has a lot of really human and really believable moments. So I chose it for my number six. He kind of felt like a number six to me.
Cool.
Yep.
Well, let's see. I guess moving on to my number five, I don't have much to add to really your number six there. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Much to do.
You know, I don't really watch King of the Hill that much, and I'm familiar with the character, but just not. It's not a show that really talks to me, so I haven't really watched it. So,
yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. All in all, whatever. But I guess my number five is one I was thinking of when I was sort of thinking along the lines of child actors. But this is I just sort of went and grab this kid's performance. It's the performance of Thomas Horn as Oscar Schell in Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
I was wondering if that was going to come up, because I do remember when you saw that movie, you were very impressed with him.
Yes.
I do remember.
And you know, I'm not, and I've said it, I'm not a huge fan of child actors, and generally I dislike them, but this kid in this movie, I thought, just did a really, really good job, especially opposite, at least emotionally opposite Tom Hanks.
And physically opposite Max von Sydow.
Yes.
You know, was it Sandra Bullock? Who the hell played his mom?
It was Sandra Bullock. Yeah, Sandra Bullock.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. It was just a sort of a surprise to me. You know, I really wasn't sure what to expect from the movie. And I thought that that this kid just really did a great job with this character. And whereas in most stories like this, it's often very cliched, and you get, you know, oh, he's coming to terms with this, and it's very sad, it's very emotional. It sort of threw a couple loops towards me, and it actually was really kind of a compelling and good story. So I really enjoyed his performance. He just had a real honesty to the kid. Just had a real honesty to him. It didn't seem like the kid was acting, you know. So that's really why it hit on my list. So it's Oscar Schell, Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close, my number 5.
Good one. He's a good one. I liked him. Okay. Yeah, for my number 5, I'm going to choose one. I don't know how much I'm going to have to say about him, but I liked the character, and we talked about him recently. We talked about him last week when we were talking Breaking Bad, but I picked Baby Spooge from Breaking Bad. He was the young kid that Jesse Pinkman saved from his, you know, crazy, drugged-out parents.
But, yeah.
You know, again, you know, I might have enjoyed him as much as I did, you know, because in my mind, and, you know, I don't know what happened, but in my mind, he had a happy ending, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, he obviously had, you know, these terrible, you know, negligent parents. You know, they didn't feed him and they didn't bathe him, and he got to watch one TV with QVC and that kind of stuff. And, you know, but, you know, he wasn't crushed. You know, he wasn't crushed by life yet. You know, Jesse showed up and he just flat out told him, I'm hungry. And so, you know, looked like Jesse made him a fluffer nutter or something like that. And they played peekaboo. And, you know, he still kind of had that hope and fire for life. And, you know, granted, at the end of the episode, you know, his mom killed his dad and his mom's going to go to, you know, goes to prison and that kind of shit. But, you know, and he's going to probably be in welfare or something like that. But, you know, the optimism in me says that, you know, that he quickly got put into a foster home and he grew up and, you know, had a happy life. So I picked him basically because, you know, again, he's just remarkable to me. I mean, I might be using that word too literally because, you know, I just find him interesting. And, you know, I was happy about his, you know, tiny little story arc. You know, it's nothing in the overall arc of Breaking Bad, but I was happy that, you know, that the story ends with hope. I mean, the kid didn't get killed, and so that's a happy thing. So I chose him for my number 5.
That's a good one. I didn't think of him, but that is really good. And really, that whole episode is a great one in that, but you're right. He does have his hope. He has, I mean, even though he's living in absolute filth and he obviously sleeping on an old dingy shitty mattress, you know, and, full of rats and you feel really sorry for the kid, but so does Jesse. And at the end, rather than letting the kid come out and find the stuff that's going on with his parents, Jesse goes in and takes him out of there and sets him out on the front porch. And it's like, you get this impression that anything is better than that.
Exactly. You know, even if he does have to go be raised by step parents, at least they're going to hopefully feed him and bathe him and not do meth in front of them. So I
choose to believe that he's going to a much nicer family at that point. So,
yeah, because he's fictional, you know, we can say whatever, and he grew up to be a happy, well-adjusted young man.
Yes.
So, you know, that has this weird memory of this one guy that paid him a kindness when he was a little boy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess my number four on my list is one I've talked about before. It's Hit Girl from Kick-Ass. I have not seen the new movie yet, but she's especially the Chloe Moretz portrayal. Obviously, I've read the comic books and she's okay in there, but Chloe Moretz really brought the character to life. Again, a character who very much acts older than she actually is. In the movie, she's just a spunky little kick-ass firebrand who really is the action star of this of the movie. So, being that I just love that type of a character and that type of juxtaposition, I had to go with Hit Girl at my number four.
Yep, very good, very good. Okay, moving on to my number four. My number four is one that very much betrays my, my speech at the beginning about, a hopeful kid, that can still be a kid, despite, everything, they still have their Teletubbies or whatever it is these kids are playing with these days. I picked a very adult child for my number four. It's a child that, did not have a childhood and blah, 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 and, had a very adult life. And he actually did end up recently dying. I chose Damian Wayne from Batman for my number four.
Very nice.
You know me. I love Damian.
Oh, yeah, Damian was awesome. I think my favorite bit with Damian has got to be when he was wailing on Joker with a crowbar.
That was pretty cool.
Just that scene in the book where he just calmly walks into jail to interrogate the Joker and pulls out a crowbar and starts beating on him. I mean, that kid was a complete psychopath, but
one time picked up a prostitute in the Batmobile and ended up getting her eaten by Killer Croc. he has all kinds of great moments, but he does have moments and his arc is over now, question mark. But he showed up and he was a little fucking bastard raised by the League of Shadows and did his first Halo jump at the age of four and he was killing all of his life and stuff like that. But he didn't let maybe I'm gonna get into a little bit of my shiny happy people holding hands shit. But he didn't necessarily let it crush him because he did become a part of a family with the Batman family. Like one of the last things that he ever says when he goes to the fight where he dies is he's talking with Dick, and he's telling Dick that he has a lot of respect for his father, but Dick was always the best Batman and they'll never convince him otherwise, and they had this really nice moment. But he's a character I love, so I picked him for my number four. And you gotta love the fact he's Ra's al Ghul's grandson. So
that is true. He's an awesome character. What I've read of him has been wonderful. I really want to go back and check out all of those, especially the Batman and Robins that Morrison did, because I didn't read all of them, but I love to read some more of them. I really enjoyed the relationship he had with Dick as Batman was great. Instead of a Bruce and Dick or a Bruce and Tim sort of relationship, it was much more mentor-esque. It was much more it was actually much more father son than a Bruce and Damian relationship was. I mean, but that's a good choice. I really like that.
I did too. And he's a character that that like people have, Damian's been put through his paces. People used to fucking hate Damian, and I think that right there towards the end and maybe after the end, I do think there's a lot of. There's a lot of, liking him in retrospect. I've always liked the character ever since he first showed up as the young kid and, finding out that he's Bruce's son. I've always thought he's a little bastard. Don't get me wrong, but I think he's a fucking fantastic character. I wouldn't want him to be my kid, but I like reading about him. I mean, I've said that 100 times. I don't like him as a person, but I like him as a character. So, yeah, he's my number four.
Alrighty. Well, my number three is still in the, I sort of juggled around on this one. I decided to go with the character of Sid from Looper, the little kid in Looper. Really,
I forgot about him. He was a good kid. He was a good, yeah. Good
choice. Really because he reminded me very much of a very dark, adaptation of, Franklin Richards to an extent, except he didn't have complete reality warping powers, but it was still that what if, you know, you had this character that had this immense power, that I remember the scene where he's starting to get very angry, and his mom, the what's her name, Emily Blunt, gets scared and runs and locks herself in a safe, you know. And Sid, this kid, is just really has this great. Obviously, he's another one of those little kids who's playing old. Who's seems wise beyond his years, type of thing. He's acting much more adult in certain situations, but he still is a kid at heart. He still doesn't understand things that are going on. He still has these issues, and he reminded me a lot of the Franklin Richards dynamic, just because of that power and that it's like you have this sweet little kid who, with the drop of this hat, can literally just tear you apart. And so I ended putting him up at my number three in that Sid. I don't know the actor's name, but Sid from Looper, my number three.
He was a very good character. I forgot about him. If I remembered him, he might have made my list. He's a good one. He is a good one. Okay, again, my number three. Hey, look at this, movie guy. It took me to my number three to actually got to one that's in a frickin' movie. But anyway, I digress. For my number three, I chose one that I've talked about recently. I talked about it's Michael Sullivan Jr. from The Road to Perdition, Tom Hanks' son, played by Tyler Hoechlin. He's a good character. Again, you know, this is one that, you know, he was a child of the Depression. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, he was forced to grow up a little bit quicker. But, you know, he did still have his childish qualities. He liked to go and, you know, play dice with his grandfather and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I kind of liked his, you know, his kid, like the kid moments in him. Obviously, he had, you know, great moments, like, you know, when when he was staring down Jude Law right after his father got shot, and, you know, like lots of like really intense moments. Mm-hmm. But a moment that I really enjoyed in the movie was when Michael Sullivan and, you know, Junior, you know, they hatch out their plan to where they're going to go and, you know, steal all of Paul Newman's money to get his attention and that kind of stuff. And they're going to rob all the banks. And, you know, and he says something like, okay, we're going to take money. Does that mean I get some? He's like, and his dad's like, yeah, sure. And he's like, how much do you want? He's like, $100. And like, without skipping a beat, he's like, deal. And the kid's like, could I have gotten more? And he's like, now you'll never know. So it was a cool little kid moment. Yep. He was all like, wow, $100. And don't get me wrong, $100 is a shitload of money then. It's still quite a bit of money now, but, you know, it's still $100 when, you know, they basically had, you know, lots and lots and lots of money. And it was a fun little moment where, you know, it was showing that, you know, despite, you know, the circumstances that he's in, mm-hmm. he is still a kid. And I also just really liked the performance. I thought it was a good performance. So
yeah, that's number three. That's a movie I haven't seen in way too long. I love that movie, and I love that kid in that movie. It's a lot of times when you're putting a kid in sort of a movie or a situation like that, it just doesn't work very well. But that little kid, that actor really, really just pulled off a great job, great performance in it.
Oh, yeah.
Again, with the Tom Hanks, too, right there.
There you go.
I guess Tom Hanks makes children better or something. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, I find Tom Hanks to be a very fatherly mm-hmm. actor. So I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
He is quite good. Well, moving on to my number two, you know she's going to show up on this list somewhere. It's Arya Stark. I mean, she is the namesake of my daughter that is on her way.
I wasn't sure if you actually liked the character.
She's my second favorite character in the Song of Ice and Fire series of books. Second only to Tyrion. Arya Stark is just speaking straight from the TV series, she's played exceptionally well by Macy Williams, I think, sir. Williams. Plays her very well in the series. She's great. Yeah. She's got this great tomboy thing going, but obviously in the books they really develop her a lot better. And stuff they haven't gotten to in the series yet, ooh, spoiler alert, is she's just a really, really cool, how do I really put this? Arya is going to be fucking scary in later books.
Awesome.
she's going off and learning how to be an assassin with the Faceless Ones, and she's just going to be very creepy. Unfortunately, I think it's going to end poorly for her, but she's just a really great character in that, you know, it's like, oh, of course, we're going to have this little tomboy character in here to do this. But rather than make her very cliched, she's very real. She still has to go through, you know, and do all this lady stuff that she has to learn how to, you know, sew and all that. And she absolutely loathes and hates it and would rather go shoot bows and arrows with her brothers. And the character just does this great growing up, because when you first meet her in the story, she's very obnoxious. She's young. She's still figuring things out, but she just wants to run around and fight with wooden swords and do that sort of thing. But as the story progresses, as more heavy shit gets dumped on her, she really has to grow up, and she really figures out what the balance is between you know, life and death. And it's just a really interesting, really great, strong character, especially for a young female. And it's one that I think isn't portrayed well in film and in television. And it's great to see this character come to life, not only in the pages of the books, which are fantastic, but also in the TV series. So she's my number two.
They're doing it justice in the TV series.
I think so. Yes.
Okay, cool. Very cool. Getting down to my number two. My number two is a character that I've talked about a lot. It doesn't change the fact that I like this character, but I chose Hermione Granger for my number two. She's a character that really has really grown on me, and she's got an interesting thing, and I think it's why she made it as high. Well, other than the fact that she fucking rocks. But I think there's a reason that she made it high on, you know, high on my list was, you know, you get to see this kid, you know, from the ages of 11 to, you know, what, 17 at the end of the book. And, you know, arguably you also get to see her, you know, at, you know, 27 or what have you at the, in the, you know, 19 years later part of the book. But I like Hermione, and this is especially from the books. I mean, she was good in the movies. I liked her a lot in the movies, but I did really love the character in the book. And, you know, we've talked before about, like, we talked, like, that one time I talked with Jesse about her. You know, we talked about, you know, how she was logical and all that kind of shit. And, you know, that's true and that's great, and she was a skeptic and that's fun. But I liked just how intelligent she was, and I also kind of liked how she was a know-it-all. Because there is just like this stupid thing that happens in our culture to where we have this, we turn up our noses at know-it-alls. And I've never quite, you know, got that, you know, why everyone's all like, oh, let's make fun of her because she knows more than me, you know, because she's done her homework, because, you know, she's smarter than me. And, you know, I like the fact that, you know, this is it's a very modern character. You know, she doesn't let her gender get in the way, nor should she. And she just walks in, you know, she's all like, okay, I just recently found out that there's witches and wizards, and I'll be damned, I ought to be the best fucking one ever. And so she studies up, and, you know, she's, you know, quickly the top of her class. And, you know, I really kind of like the beginning. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the arc that happens with the character, but, you know, there's something weird that happens, like, when you see a character through a long, you know, story arc, like, you know, Hermione, to where they become, like, you know, cogs of the machine, so to speak, to where they're just supporting characters of Harry Potter. And I know that I would probably, you know, listen to some shit if I was heard saying that, but she is. I mean, the stories are Harry Potter stories, but at the beginning of the story, I like her drive. I like her intelligence. I like her ambition. And I also like the fact that, you know, that she doesn't take shit from anyone. I think she's a fantastic character. So I chose her for my number two.
She's a good one, and I was really expecting her to show up on your list. Hermione is awesome. I mean, she's a great character. She is she's very, really, we seem to really be going for these females. This is actually interesting. She's actually, yeah, she's another great strong character, great strong female character, a great role model for kids. And yeah, I love me some Hermione. I think Emma Watson really does a great job with her in the movies and and really, to tell you the truth, I think I like the movie version of her better than the book version.
you know, they're really apples and oranges, but I think, you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, that makes my opinion superior to yours, but I think I like her in the books better because of the fact they're books, because you can develop the characters more, and because it's like, you know, a text-based thing and it isn't vying for screen time, they get to develop her, you know, how she's an intellectual. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's that great scene in the book, and I don't remember which book it was. I don't even actually remember specifically what she was talking about, but she was talking to it seemed like it was later on. It seemed like it was maybe the fifth or the sixth, maybe even the seventh book. And, you know, they'd asked her something, and I don't even remember if it was even the main boys, but something was asked of her. It says, well, obviously it's this. And they're like, what are you talking about? She's like, well, you know, the first thing I thought of was this. And then I realized it couldn't be that because of this. So, you know, that led me to thinking this and this and this. So obviously, you know, that's why it is. And they stopped. And I think it was Lon. He just looked at her and he's just all like, how in the hell are you not in Ravenclaw? And, you know, she's like, well, you know, when they put the hat on me, you know, they it was one of the options that came up, and, you know, but I, you know, but I think they alluded to the fact that, you know, her drive to prove herself, you know, made her, you know, strong and all that kind of stuff. So therefore, you know, it, you know, made her, you know, stout of heart, and so she was in Gryffindor. And it's just stuff like that that I just she's a fantastic character, and she grows on me a lot, and she's a very much an unsung hero in Harry Potter. I mean, it great character. Great stories. So, number two.
Nice. Well, I settle on my number one being a character from one of my absolute favorite books. It's YT from Snow Crash, which, of course, stands for Yours Truly. She's a fun character. She's very, going with the females. She very much more of an adult for her age, and has this great sort of... great sort of narrative in the book. I like that she doesn't really give a lot of shit for really anything that's going on, but sort of gets roped into going along with it. I really enjoy her independence, and sort of she was the first character really that I latched onto, or at least I remember in this regard. So that's why I had to put her up at my number one. Instead of being a sidekick type of character, she really was sort of a partner with the main character of Hero Protagonist, and I really enjoyed how she sort of brought this fun and albeit it's in a cyberpunk setting or a cyberpunk book, she brought this real kind of humanity to it. So.
Very cool,
fun stuff. She was my number one.
I mean, I read the book when I was younger, and I read the book a couple years ago when we did a casting couch for it, and she's an awesome character. I found her more interesting than, you know, Hero Protagonist and all that stuff. So she's a good character. Good choice.
Cool. Well, who's your number one?
My number one's gonna be a strange one. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to keep the female train going, but that's okay. A couple might pop up in my honorable mentions, but I chose one as my number one, and I don't know why I chose him beyond the fact that, you know, he is really, he does have a lot put before him. You know, he's dealing with some pretty serious shit, but, you know, he doesn't, you know, have that, okay, now I've defeated the dragon, you know, kind of thing. Now I can go back to being a kid. I mean, he's dealing with some pretty serious shit, and, you know, but the whole time he's still a kid. And I don't even know how familiar you are with him. I'm not even sure if you've seen the movie, but I chose Sam from Love Actually. It's Liam Neeson's mm-hmm. son.
Yeah, I love that movie.
I love that movie, and I love that kid. I mean, if you think about it, it's a really sweet little story where he's just trying to get his girlfriend, right? But, also, I'm not going to say beneath the surface, because, you know, it's, you know, right there in Front Street, he's also just lost his mother. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his father, and he's dealing with everything with his father. And, you know, be it that he's, you know, trying to impress a girl, you know, this girl that, like, in his, you know, young mind, you know, she's going to be gone, and, you know, he's never going to get to tell her that he loves her and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, kids don't have a sense of time like we do with adults, or they don't have the there's, you know, more than one fish in the sea attitude. And so it had to be really crushing to him. you know, I loved his drive. I love the fact that he decided that the chicks like music, so he's going to learn to play the drums and, you know, admire Ringo mm-hmm. Starr. I love the fact that, you know, he hold himself up in his room with all of his romance movies. And I don't know, I just really liked the kid. I found him incredibly charming, and mm-hmm. I loved the movie. And that's just one of those movies that, I don't know, it just gets me, and I get mm-hmm. it. And he's just like, and that is by far my favorite part of the story is Liam Neeson.
Oh yeah. Sam. Yeah.
I mean, it's such a fantastic, I would love to watch a movie just
although the Bill Nighy parts are pretty damn good too.
And don't get me wrong, and so is the Alan Rickman part, and so is the, yeah. You know, there's so the Colin Firth. It's all good, but I love the Liam Neeson and Sam thing, and it might push me over because of Sam. I think he's a great character, and the fact that he's a kid is almost secondary, but it's not, because, you know, I admire his tenacity, you know, because, you know, he's not dealing with, you know, like ghosts and dragons and stuff like that, but yeah. He is dealing some pretty heavy shit for a kid, and I admire his tenacity and his spunk. So I chose it for my number one.
Very good choice. I have seen that movie. I love that movie, actually.
Isn't it fantastic?
And that that kid really holds up well against, you know, Liam fucking Neeson in the role mm-hmm. in there. That kid, if I remember right, I think that kid, that actor is actually shows up in the third season of Game of Thrones.
He does.
I want to say, was he on Harry Potter?
I can't. I'm not sure. I would have to look. I would have to look.
Yeah. But it's a great choice. Great movie. And I did like that kid a lot. He's a good one. It's a good. It's definitely a good choice there. Well, I guess we should probably mm-hmm. hit our rundown and put a fork in this. It's it is getting late.
Alrighty.
My number 10 is from Harry Potter fame, Luna Lovegood, gotta love her. My number 9 is Peter Parker, the early Peter Parker, I guess, or even the ultimate Peter Parker, that sort of thing. From Spider-Man from the comic books.
I like ultimate Peter Parker a lot.
My number 8 is Molly Carpenter from the book series The Dresden Files. Shows up a little bit later in the series, and she's his apprentice. My number 7 is Bart Simpson.
okay.
I mean, talk about pop culture icon, right? I mean, he's been around for 25, 30, almost 30 years now, and he was everywhere when we were kids.
Here's some perspective. Bart Simpson would be older than us.
Yes.
If he was an actual character that aged, he would be older than us.
Yes.
Because he was like 10 when that show came out, and we were like 8, I think.
Yep.
So, yeah. Great character. Good choice. I like that.
Then, of course, the ones I just talked about. Dorothy Gale, Oscar Schell, Hit Girl, Sid, Arya Stark, and YT.
Very cool. Very cool. My number 10, again, it's one that I've talked about a lot, but I can't recall if I ever brought her up on a list before, but I chose Maddie Ross from True Grit.
Nice.
And then, there you go, my number nine is another weird one, to where I think I just have a thing about, like, the dichotomy between, you know, like dealing with grown-up circumstances and still finding, you know, childhood. But I picked Newt from Aliens, because she went through some hellacious shit, and mm-hmm. then, you know, she was gonna have a normal childhood, and then she got killed by David Fincher, but I digress. And then, you know, number 8 is one I'm surprised it hasn't come up even tangentially, but it was Cole Sears from The Sixth Sense.
Mm-hmm.
He was a fucking awesome character, and, you know, Haley Joel Osment, you know, he was kind of, you know, the it kid there for a minute, and, you know, good performance, Oscar nominated, and very cool. And then my number seven is Tim Latimer from the two Doctor Who episodes, Human Nature and Family of Blood, is the one where he went back in time, you know, with the watch fob thing, and it started the progression towards the Master. I think that kid went on to be on Game of Thrones. It seems like I saw a meme or something about that, but I like that kid. I like that character and story. But okay, then we all Then we also got the list I already did. I had Bobby Hill from King of the Hill. I had Baby Spooge from Breaking Bad. I had Damian Wayne from Batman. Michael Sullivan Jr. from Road to Perdition. Hermione Granger from Harry Potter. My number one favorite child actor, well, child character, was Sam from Love Actually. And boom! See, I told you there's some pretty cool ass kid characters out of there, and it would have been kind of interesting to see what we did this list if we had a little bit more time to farm it and think about it. But I'm actually relatively pleased with what we came up here. I mean, we had a good mixture of book and TV and movies and stuff like that, and we had both male and female, and we had all kinds of genres. So it seems like a pretty good list. I'm pleased with it.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, so am I. This turned out better than I expected it, at least. So,
go ahead.
Well, but I'm gonna have to wrap up. But this was a good one. So, definitely.
Okay. So I don't know what we're doing next week, but we are going to be doing something about something, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess until next time, I'm Aaron.
I'm Ethan.
let your geek flag fly.
They see me mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Can't you see I'm wide and nerdy? Look at me, I'm wide and nerdy. I wanna mow with the gangsters, but so far they all think I'm too nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. I'm just too white and nerdy. Really, really white and
first
nerdy.
First in my class here at MIT. Got skills, I'm a champion of D&D. MC Escher, that's my favorite MC. Keep your 40, I'll just have an Earl Grey tea. My rims never spin, to the contrary. You'll find that they're quite stationary. All of my action figures are cherry. Stephen Hawking's in my library. My MySpace page is all totally pimped out. Got people begging for my top 8 spaces. Yo, I know pie to 1,000 places. Ain't got no grills, but I still wear braces. I order all of my sandwiches with mayonnaise. I'm a whiz, a minesweeper, I can play for days. Once you see my sweet moves, you're gonna stay amazed. My fingers moving so fast, I set the place ablaze. There's no killer app I haven't run. At Pascal, well, I'm number one. Do vector calculus just for fun. I ain't got a gap, but I got a soldering gun. Happy Days is my favorite theme song. I could sure kick your butt in a game of ping pong. I'll ace any trivia quiz you bring on. I'm fluent in JavaScript as well as Klingon.
You see me roll on my Segway. I know in my heart they think I'm white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Can't you see I'm white and nerdy? Look at me, I'm white and nerdy. I like to roll with the gangsters. Although it's apparent I'm too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. I'm just too white and nerdy. How'd I get so white and nerdy?
I've been browsing, inspecting X-Men comics, I collect them. The pens in my pocket, I must protect them. My ergonomic keyboard never leaves me bored. Shopping online for deals on some writable media. I edit Wikipedia. I memorize Holy Grail really well. I can recite it right now and have you ROTFLOL. I got a business doing websites. While my friends need some code, who do they call? I do HTML for them all. Even made a homepage for my doll. Yo, I got myself a fanny pack. They were having a sale down at the Gap. In my nights with a roll of bubble wrap. Pop, pop, hope no one sees me getting freaky.
I'm nerdy in the extreme and whiter than sour cream.
I was in AV club and glee club and even the chess team. Only question I ever thought was hard. What do I like, Kirk or do I like Picard?
Spend every weekend at the Renaissance Fair. Got my name on my underwear. They see me strolling, they laughing, and rolling their eyes cause I'm so white and nerdy.
Just because I'm white and nerdy. Just because I'm white and nerdy. All because I'm white and nerdy. Holy cow, I'm white and nerdy.
I wanna bowl with the gangsters. But oh well, it's obvious I'm just too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. I'm just too white and nerdy. Look at me, I'm white and